We are in week two of our series, Called to Discipleship. And last week, Pastor Ian got us started off with the idea of what it means to be a disciple. He talked about how Jesus wants our hearts, how we should strive to be like him. The essence of a disciple is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. A true disciple is not just a student or a learner, but a follower. One who applies what it is they've learned. The disciples are, of course, some of our best examples of this. More than just students and learners, they were followers and doers. And now that we know more about what discipleship is, I get the pleasure of beginning our talks on how to do it to the best of our ability. And we're going to focus today on the greatest tool of success available to you, the Word, the revelation of God. I told you in a sermon a few weeks ago some amazing facts about the Bible. Let's review them. The Word of God was written by real men in partnership with a real author, God. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, written by 40 different writers of a variety of backgrounds, 3 different languages, 3 different continents, over a period of 1,500 years, loaded with prophecy and prophecy fulfilled throughout that time. It's really quite magnificent to comprehend. And the Word of God is a lot of things. It is truth. It is powerful. And it is nothing less than holy. And it does very powerful and holy things, like healing and restoring, fulfilling and inspiring, answering our questions, giving us direction, helping us live out our divine purpose. It corrects us when we're wrong. It soothes us when we're sad. It calms us when we're angry. It's everything, the Word. And the Word of God changes us. It changes you. I know for certain it has changed me. It's the only force that can change you in the way you need to be changed. And more important, the Word of God is the only force that can change those that you witness to, that you serve to and give to. Those that you know can be changed by the Word of God, but only that power through you. The Word offers all the solutions to our problems. Now, as disciples of Christ, we should desire an understanding of the mind of God because we, as disciples, are commanded to have a godly mindset. We need a godly mindset. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to obey Christ. To disciple, we must seek, draw near, be eager to know God as deeply as we are able. To know God is to know God's Word. His mind is revealed in the Word. His opinion on everything revealed in the Word, his guidelines, his promises, his instructions, everything right there for you. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the Word of God also builds our faith. Jesus knew this. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word, and faith comes when we speak it for others. As true disciples, followers who apply what we've learned, walking in the steps of Jesus, we must know our product and we must believe in it. Jesus knew the word of God. He believed it. He believed it could change people. He believed it could satisfy people. What makes you believe in something? What makes you buy into it? Make a purchase. Drop your Visa card with vigor. I'm sure you've been shopping before for something that involved an employee to make your purchase. Maybe a car, a phone, a new tool for the garage. Maybe a new skincare line or a nutrition line from the nutrition store. But you need the employee to figure it out. So you go to the first place and the person knows very little about the details of their product. They've never even used it. They lack confidence, and frankly, they just don't know your product, and you don't buy from them. But you go to the next place, and that person does. They've studied every manual there is on their product. They know the product inside and out. They use it themselves, and they capitalize on their product knowledge and training, and by the time they're finished, you've bought whatever they're selling, all the bells and whistles, and you're thanking them on the way out the door like they paid for it. Yes? In my time as a business owner, one of the greatest keys to success was knowing our products. Our staff, who were the most successful, those who touched the most lives, knew their product, and they believed in it. No matter what happens, you have to have relentless belief and enthusiasm in your product. It's kind of like the man who was hired to demonstrate the unbreakable comb. You know, he owned at least 10 of them himself. He loved those combs. He was impressing the people who stopped by to look by putting the comb through all sorts of tortures and stress. Finally, to impress the skeptics in the crowd, he bent the comb completely in half, and it snapped with a loud crack. Without missing a beat, he bravely held both halves of the unbreakable comb for everyone to see and said, "And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what an unbreakable comb looks like on the inside." He sold twice as many that day as the day before. Knowing your product, believing in it without ceasing, is a key to creating belief in the product for others. Knowing your product creates trust. God's word was Jesus' product, and it was Jesus' whole life. We cannot succeed as disciples of Christ unless we are thoroughly informed about our product. How well do you know the word? As believers, as disciples, we need to be in the word daily, with joy, habitually, reading out loud, listening to it read, reading alone, reading with others, reading commentary, absorbing it. The more you dedicate time to the word, the faster and more effectively that word can work within you. But you have to engage. You have to set time to read it, to study it, to pray on it. And the results that come from that time are evident in your life right away because it works in you. The more you invest, the more the return. Now, this is not just the greatest discipleship tool of all time. It's the greatest wisdom tool of all time. And wisdom is so much of what we seek. People do not have problems. People have wisdom problems. And wisdom is more powerful than weapons of war, Ecclesiastes. The Bible tells us wisdom is better than gold, silver, or rubies. Proverbs, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. To know your product, to learn it, to study it, to focus on it, to gain wisdom. I heard someone say relatively recently, those are just words. The word, it's just words. Well, words created the world. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Words created the world. And in Genesis 1, the story of creation, we hear God said 10 times. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a vault between the waters, the sky to separate the waters. God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. Let dry ground appear. God said, let the land produce vegetation. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky. God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above. God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so they may rule over all the creatures. Words created the world. And words create our world. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words can reveal your heart, Luke 6. Words can move mountains, Mark 11. Words are not cheap. Words are very expensive. Words ignite wars or create peace. Words tear people apart and burn bridges to the ground. Or words build people up and build bridges between them. Jesus used words, the word. When tempted by Satan 3 times, he quoted scripture in response. The first time, Jesus answered, "It is written, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The second time he responded, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And the third time he said, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Now, seriously, folks, when is the last time someone crawled up your skin and you responded with a good old, "Get behind me, Satan"? When's the last time someone said to you, "My heart is broken," and you responded with, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit"? When's the last time you got sick and you said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed"? Seriously. When is the last time you fell ill, and the first thing you did was turn to God and say, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed"? And how about how we talk to our neighbors when they're sick? Do you ever look at them and say, the Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. No. We don't go around quoting scripture all the time. But maybe we should. We could at least make the points of scripture in our own way to encourage, to inquire patience, to calm our nerves, to seek healing. Jesus used the word and all of his words wisely. He knew the power of both. Do you? Do you realize the power of both? We're talking in youth group this month about creation. We were created in the image of God. That makes us creators too. We create. Look around you this morning at all the inspired ideas, creations of someone. The pew you're sitting in, the lectern I preach from, all of the digital devices that are everywhere, all creations. They began as an idea given life with words. And as disciples who are creators, we create things within each other, like joy and compassion, generosity, gratitude, love. But we can also create pain, sadness, anger, and more. We are creative disciples with the power of a sword in our mouths. The power to harm or the power to heal, all determined by your wisdom. And that makes our greatest discipleship tool more important than ever. The words from our mouth matters. And the more this word pours from it, the better. Luke 21:15 says, "For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." One more time. "For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." God's word is the key to your discipleship. The guidebook to know your product on levels that impact others, but most importantly, on a level that can impact you beyond your greatest imagination. Truthfully and sadly, reading the word, engaging with it, studying it, seems difficult for many people, despite the fact that the time spent is the most effective, impactful time a person can spend in their life next to prayer. I want to encourage you this morning. No, I don't. I want to beg you this morning to find some time for the Word. A chapter a day, a verse a day, your favorite book of the Bible, do it your way. Just do it. We are creative disciples with the power of a sword in our mouths. The power to harm or the power to heal, determined by our wisdom, by our knowledge of the word. I leave you with this from James 1. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Amen.